Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the 500th episode of the Locked On Flyers podcast for Thursday, November 18th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that honestly, I can't believe 500 of these shows have happened. It feels like yesterday and it feels like 10 years ago. Since
it's a great accomplishment. It is.
Thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers to keep up to date on all our episodes, flyers, news, all that good stuff. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at RMiriam, and you can find Russ on Twitter at Sportsology. On today's show, we are going to talk a little bit more about that Flames game, get Russ's take, some news from practice and good quotes from AV, and a preview into tonight's game versus Tampa Bay Lightning. And then we will have, as our special guest for episode 500, a conversation with Scott Hartnall. Really excited to bring you that. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. So subscribe and you will get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Russ. So just want to get your take on that 2-1 overtime win against the Flames, the Kevin Hayes goal, the Flyers Hall of Fame stuff. Like, what was your reaction?
Yeah, the Flyers Hall of Fame stuff was great. They always do a great job with that. So that's always terrific. No, never would have a bad word to say about that. And it's always great to watch and for the fans. The game, I will say a win is a win, right? You get a win, you get 2 points. In the end, that's the most important thing. The thing that stood out to me was their defense was playing good, especially the second pairing of Sanheim, Ristolainen. But the power play is just so bad now that it's gotten to the point where it's literally keeping this team from scoring more than 2 goals a game. And that puts a lot of pressure on Carter Hart. And so far, he's been up for the challenge. But if he ever runs into even just a small losing streak, it's going to be a problem. The Kevin Hayes goal was great. Like, that was just amazing. He looked up to the sky. We all got misty on that one. You didn't have to be a Kevin Hayes fan. You didn't have to be a Flyers fan. All you had to be was a hockey fan or just really just a fan of humanity. And, you know, that was really great. But then, of course, in like weird misfortune, he goes out with an injury. He does come back. But now you wonder about that. Like, okay, is that going to be a future setback? You don't know. So they got through the game. It wasn't pretty. The Flames, I felt like, we're probably on the edge of being dirty, but also I think they probably got victimized once or twice on penalties that weren't great calls, but it didn't really matter. Goudreau, I mean, what did he have? I don't know. Last I looked, he had like 10 shots or more.
87 shots, something like that.
I know. It was crazy. Like, he was just completely activated, and, you know, they shut him down as far as getting a goal. They didn't shut him down from producing. But they do have to somehow get more offensive push and get some better zone time. They do.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, talking about the power play and how that's keeping them from getting those insurance goals in the wins and keeping them from getting wins when they're not victorious, I think is, you know, a perfect segue into what went on at practice yesterday. And following, Alain Vigneault had a very interesting post-practice press conference. They did, you know, make some changes during practice to power play units, bringing Konechny back on the first unit. Provy is now still on the first unit at the point. Farabee is on the first unit now instead of the second unit. And presumably, I think Cam Atkinson might be on the second unit with Kevin Hayes and JVR net front. But you know, he was sort of confronted about the lack of productivity from the power play. And, you know, is Michel Therrien on the hot seat here related to it? And he absolutely defended Therrien's work and saying that the power play structure is a collaborative exercise. He said, at the end of the day, it's my call. I'm the one who decides to put which personnel on the ice, whether it be power play or PK. So when it's not working, like right now our power play struggling, it's not French Mike's fault. It's the big guy. I'm the big guy. I'm the guy in charge of it. And I've got to find ways to make sure that that power play works. That's a hell of a quote there, Russ.
Yeah, it's a hell of a quote. And sorry, Elaine, I don't believe you. So that's just the way it is. He's just trying to deflect. He's very good at deflecting. The problem, and look, I think it's great that Giroux's back on the left. We all talked about that. I think it's great that Farabee's back up there. I don't think Brassard should be there. I think this is where AV now is just doing, we're starting to see too much Derek Brassard. And I don't want to say that because he's a good guy and whatever, but this is too much familiarity for AV to, you know, push Brassard in a number one power play spot. Makes no sense. Provorov at the point still makes no sense. I don't care if Keith Yandel's not playing his best, then you know what? Then try Ristolainen in there. We already know what Provorov, I mean, I know he has what, one of the three goals, but he's stale there after like 30 seconds. First 30 seconds, fine. After that, he runs out of ideas of what to do with the puck, and all he can do is a head fake and push it to the right or push it to the left. Like, that's it. Doesn't ever make a, you know, down low pass, doesn't, it's very predictable. And when you're playing against that, the other team's happy. They're happy to see Provorov at the point. They don't want to see Ryan Ellis because he has a great shot, and they probably don't want to see Keith Yandel because he could pick him apart. But Vigneault is on Yandel because of the turnovers. And, you know, again, this is what happened to Yandel in New York when AV was there. So I still don't think they have it right, but at least they're making changes.
It's always a wait and see game with this power play. And, you know, I've been saying, and I will continue to say, that along the lines of what you said about the creativity, they're just not getting enough movement and creating open lanes for themselves. And so their opponents are able to sit in either their diamond or their square structure, however they've decided to do it, and not have to do much to defend against it. So that's the part of it that has to change for me, no matter who the personnel are out there. And it's going to take more goals than they've been scoring to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are a much better team than the Calgary Flames right now, I would say. Even though they're still not, you know, maybe the team they were last year. Obviously, they lost some depth in the offseason. Kucherov is, again, out for the season. And really, I think for the Flyers, they have to figure out how to score those extra goals while at the same time, without Ryan Ellis, neutralize Stamkos, Killorn, Hedman, and Point.
Right. I think Hedman is probably number two on that list to neutralize. It's hard to neutralize him. And if he activates, it's hard to deal with him at his size, passing level, skating level. That's just the way it is. I mean, I'm glad you didn't say they have to neutralize Pierre-Edward Bellemare, because that would have made me sad. At any rate, Steve Stamkos, I have to say this about him. I think because of some injuries, people have marginalized him over the last few years. And I knew with all this opportunity now this year that he was going to rise again and become like that modern day Mark Messier, which I think that's what he is. He's a great leader. He's a great scorer. He's a great player. He's an all-timer. He's more than a point a game for his whole career. He's going to get 500 goals. He's got 16 points in 14 games. When you count out Steve Stamkos, you lose. Like, that's it. Plain and simple. His time on the ice, still 18 minutes a game. I mean, it's just four power play goals, a game winner. You have to game plan for him. And then Braden Point is going to be, like, terrifying for Flyers fans because of the speed. And he's not afraid to go to the net. And he's not afraid to make great passes. And so you're right. You do have to watch out for those guys. They have other guys. Alex Barboulet, a lot of Flyers fans may not know him, but he's really fast and creative. I know he got sent on waivers, and then Seattle picked him up, and then Seattle basically gave him back to Tampa. I'm looking at this game like, I don't know if I can neutralize the guys. I have to just kind of keep the shots to the outside so Carter Hart can win this for me again, because I don't know if I could score four goals. Now, if they play Brian Elliott, then it's possible. And that could be a whole other dynamic. Who knows? Maybe Elliott's going to have the game of his life because he wants to show off against his old team, or they'll play Vasilevsky and then you got Vasilevsky.
It's not, and I'm very glad that Carter Hart is in net for this game for the Flyers, and it's definitely one where they're going to have to get at least 3 goals, if not more, to win this game. So looking for the offense to step it up a little bit and get a little bit more creative without overpassing. That's the key.
Yeah.
Well, we will have the recap of that game up tonight after the game, and of course a full episode on it tomorrow. But just before we take a quick break, I want to tee up this interview we did with Scott Hartnell. Just so delightful, very charming, and had some really cool things to say about his transition into the broadcasting side of his career, including an interview bomb by Bill Clement, which was
that was pretty great. Funny. I mean, look, Hartnell was very open and honest here. He didn't have any idea what we were going to ask him. He had no idea how long this interview was going to go. And he's just a pro, man. That's it.
So thankful that he was willing to take some time prior to the alumni game and sit down with us. And look forward to bringing that to you next. Bet Online is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season, and they've got more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for basketball and football and hockey action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, the NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right. We are absolutely thrilled to welcome to Locked On Flyers, Flyers legend Scott Hartnell. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. I don't know about the legend part, but I appreciate the nice intro.
Well, let's start with that, because I think that one of the things about you is that you have such a specific legacy as a Philadelphia Flyer in terms of your tenacity. And then, of course, everybody remembers Hartnell Down. It was a huge thing. And your appearance at the All-Star Game is stuff of legend. So, but what would you say your legacy is with the Flyers organization?
You know, you come to a city, and not to put down Nashville, but, you know, is a fairly new franchise, and you come to a city that has so much history. Obviously, the Stanley Cups in the 70s, and, you know, all the great names that have played for the organization before us, and coming into this city, the guys I was playing with, it was like, wow, this is an NHL franchise. Not that Nashville wasn't, that's what I'm not trying to say, but just you come to the rink every day, you come to play every day, and it just, they demand a certain amount of respect and how you play for the Flyers jersey. And you know, I just prided myself on coming to work every day, and I know that the people that are watching of Philadelphia, the people here are just so, they're such hard workers, they're blue collar people. And, you know, when we got on the ice playing this game, you got to work your tail off too to make them happy. And I think they respected the way that I, you know, kind of approached my game, that hard nosed style of play. And I just loved every minute in the Flyers jersey.
Yeah. You always owned everything that was going on with your play though. Like if you guys played bad, you talked about it. Like, as a media guy, I've covered these guys probably 20 years now, we appreciated that. Like, you always said it like it was, good or bad, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, you have to answer the bell when, you know, you're scoring goals and you're, you know, doing all those kind of things on the ice, and it's easy to come to the media and have these interviews, but, you know, when you have a bad penalty and they score last minute, or turnovers, yeah, you gotta be there to answer the questions too. So it's about accountability, and you know, it's just the older guys, when I came to Philly, you learn from them right off the bat how to be a Flyer, how to represent the Flyers culture.
For the alumni game that you are playing in, who are you most excited about playing with, and do you know who your line mates are?
Yep, former teammate Adam Hall and Joffrey Lupo as well. We had a good couple years together, Loops and I, and just playing with him, it'll be a treat. He set me up for a lot of backdoor tap-ins, and me to him as well. So hadn't seen him in a long time, so gave him a big hug when I saw him, and just everybody. It's almost like how is a long weekend? You don't talk to someone for a few years, and then you see him again, and it's just like you left off when you saw him last. So it's that's the good thing about being hockey players, and just all of our personalities. It's just good to see him, and it's not like any time has passed.
Joe Watson's playing. He's 78.
Saw him. He's fired up.
I know. This guy is unbelievable. Are you going to play in these games until you're 78?
I'm still alive. I don't see why not. I haven't put on my skates too often the past 4 years since I've been tired. But when I woke up this morning and my son's 3.5, and I'm like, yeah, Dad's gonna play tonight at the big hockey rink, and he was kind of freaking out, and kind of gave me the feels. I'm like, it kind of would have been cool to have him when I was actually playing, right?
Right.
Would have meant something. So they're all fired up. Like, they're on their way down here right now, and just looking forward to see him.
Has your son found you on YouTube yet?
No, not yet. He's more concerned about dinosaurs and colors and things like that. But I'm sure I'll get out the old highlight reels here fairly soon.
I can say that on my women's team, I have a 73-year-old goaltender.
Oh, nice.
So she can get up and down at 73. I'm pretty sure
I'll try my best.
to keep up with it. But I want to talk a little bit more about that All-Star game that you were in, because I don't know, for me, it was one of the most indelible memories of you on the ice with the Flyers, and you look like you were probably having the most fun you have ever had in your life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I think Jonathan Toews from Chicago, he got hurt, and that's kind of how I got my way into the All-Star game. But I had a wonderful year with Jágr and Claude Giroux, and getting the call to go there, I was obviously on cloud nine, and I didn't know if it was obviously my only All-Star appearance, so I wanted to make the most of it and enjoy my time there. And it's about the fan experience and talking with them and signing autographs, and my family all flew in from all over Canada and whatnot. So it was just a really just cool feeling to be a part of it, and I wanted to make the most of it and not just kind of, it happens so fast too, right? You blink and the weekend's gone. So I just tried to have as much fun as possible. And it was in Ottawa, Canada. My brother lives there, so got to see lots of family time and whatnot. So it was just a real cool time. I fell down a lot in the donate some money to the charity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that was that's part of it too. And my own teammates were trying to trip me. It was a cool weekend for sure.
We're working off of Jágr for a minute. He used to wear that flak jacket. Did you ever wear the flak jacket? And then for the outdoor game when it was here, what was your memory? Jágr took one shift, and the word is after he saw how cold it was and he took a hit into the boards, he didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah, he was takes the old body that he was still. I think he's in his 50s, still playing now.
But, yeah,
he was mid 40s, I think,
when he was played. Around that. Yeah,
yeah. And sometimes it takes the body to warm up a little longer, and I think he got a little bit tight, but. That experience too. I've played in two outdoor games, and two of my favorite games that I'll always remember as well. So it's just very, very lucky to do what I've done and enjoy the whole ride, I guess.
So, talking about what your life is like now, what made you think, hey, I want to be on TV and talk about hockey now?
I think, like, my last probably 5-6 years of playing, so I would have been in my 30 and early 30s, it was always broadcasters or whatever, beat writers, they were like, hey, you ever think about doing this after for the playoffs? So they bring some guys in right away and do some analyst stuff on NBC or whatever it is, and they're like, you'd be great at it. And I'm like, okay, I thought about it, well, that's a nice compliment, but I'm like, okay, I do have a fun personality. I think I can, speak somewhat well. Sometimes I get my marbles in my mouth and can't get my sentences together. But, and I just try and have fun with it, just like I, did when I was playing, or do with my son and daughter. Right? You got to have fun, and And I think my personality comes out, you know, fairly good on TV. And you know, and obviously I've played the game for 17 years professionally my whole life. It's kind of easy to talk about and fun to talk about. And yeah, absolutely love it.
Yeah, whether it's Al or Taryn or you're on NHL Network.
Yep.
Did you realize you'd have to put in like a lot of work to kind of get up to speed with just everything that brings with the camera work?
Yeah.
Not so much what you knew about hockey, it's the other stuff.
Well, I would tell you, my first few times I did, I was more nervous doing that than I was playing in the Stanley Cup Finals or my first NHL game, because it's foreign to a hockey player, right? You got the lights, camera action, you know, you're on the spot, you got to ask a question, and then you got to analyze kind of what's the play is happening, where, you know, just for my whole life, it was just, you'd think it in your head, you wouldn't put together words to talk about it. And it was nerve wracking. And, you know, I think it was like, I had asked someone a question and I had my question for like 2 hours. Right. And whoever we were interviewing,
yeah, yeah.
It was a guy from Edmonton, and 2 hours I had this question. I probably said it to myself, said it out loud, like legit, probably 100 times. And then, you know, we're doing mid interview and the guy right before me took my question.
Oh,
that I was going to ask him, and
it's
my first interview, my first time on the network, and I was like, oh God, what am I going to do here?
Don't believe him.
Oh, don't believe that man, Billy Clement. And I froze, and then I just kind of thought of something. I spoke, so soft, and, you know, and then the producer got in my ear, and he's like, hey, you got to project a little bit more, and not, you know, whatever, and I'm sorry, I just like froze, right? And it was that was my first like day doing this.
Your first shift.
Exactly. And I honestly, I drove home, I called my parents. I said, I'm not doing this again. And then, you know, the next one, it got a little easier, But yeah, you have to prep. You have to watch highlights. You read stories of who's hurt, who's not.
You could have asked Bill Clement if you had him around.
And honestly, a guy like that who's been in it for, you know, 40 years, and one of the best of all time, right?
Yeah.
He would call me when I was on the set with the Flyers last year, and he's like, this just feel like you're having a conversation. It feels like it's very robotic. You know, I've been watching the last few games. I just wanted to reach out to you, and it wasn't criticizing me terribly. It was just an observation from a pro who's done it forever, and you know, he watched the next few shows, called him back, how was these shows, and he's like, like way better, 10 times better than what you were doing.
That's great.
So to have those people to rely on and to lean on, it's hugely important, and you know, be forever grateful.
Once again, thanks to all of you out there for being here with us for 500 episodes of Locked On Flyers and making us your first listen every day. We are free and available on all of your podcasting platforms. And now here's the rest of our interview with Scott Hartnell.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there was anybody you went to for advice getting into broadcasting.
Yeah, well, Bill was one of them. Was really great. Jody Shelley,
as
well, and he was in Columbus.
We all knew he was going to get into.
Yeah,
yes.
That was
great,
obvious.
A great personality, great voice, and could tell stories and relate things, and he sees things that, you know, the average hockey guy wouldn't. So. And they also just said, you know, just be yourself. Try and get that out on TV, because people, you know, enjoy being around you. And when they're watching you, if you're going to try and be use these big words and analyze, you know, overanalyze stuff, like you'll fail miserably. Just be yourself, have fun, and you know, just talk out.
Do buddies text you during the show, though, former teammates and such?
Sometimes, yeah. Just on the NHL Network, you know, guys from. Columbus, Boone Jenner was texting me the day. He zoomed in on my makeup face, right? And he goes, man, you look tan. I'm like, I haven't seen the sun in 2 months. That's obviously the makeup, but
that's
just little things like that just make you feel like, oh, I must be doing a good job because people are watching and commenting. And obviously, there's some bad comments mixed in through there, but that's just, you toss those aside just like everything else.
Yep. Amazing. In terms of how you're approaching talking about the team, since there is some overlap with a couple of the guys that you played with, like how does that work with you, and you know, how are you able to maintain some objectivity?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, lucky the Flyers are having a good year, and you know, one of my best buddies, Cam Atkinson, came in and had 6 goals in 6 games, and how can you talk bad about him? But
sure.
He dried up a little bit since, which is you know, tough, and you can just tell he's gripping the stick a little bit too hard. But Probably the best advice I got was probably from my mother, where she said, you know, don't be too hard on guys, like even on the other team or on the Flyers team, because just remember, somebody's mom's watching at home, right?
Oh, that's very sweet.
And I never thought about it like that. And she would tell me stories of, you know, the Flyers playing in Pittsburgh, and you can only get the Pittsburgh feed, and the Pittsburgh announcers or the people in the intermissions are really like, this Hartnell is the biggest cheap shot artist, and you know he should go to hell or whatever,
yeah,
right?
And
my mom would get so mad, right? So yeah. She always said, like, no matter what, even if someone makes a bonehead play or gives up a weak goal or whatever, like, you know, someone's mom's watching, so don't be too hard, because I've been on the opposite end of it, and you know, it's it hurts, right? So it was great advice by my mom.
Couple of years ago, we had you up in the press box, and I asked you about Gritty, and you said, oh yeah, we're becoming fast friends. Now, you mentioned Atkinson, who had the Gritty shirts ready. Do you think he's better friends with Gritty than you?
I hope not. I'm going to have a word with Gritty if he's here tonight, if he is. But, and, you know, a guy like, Atkinson and Gritty, or, you know, everyone in Gritty, everyone loves him, and just the whole interaction of this character, who would have thought it would be this unreal and this great, right? Like, everyone wants
to see Gritty. First night was a little shaky.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It was a lot shaky.
For sure, but now everyone wants to see Gritty instead of Claude Drew, right?
Yeah.
And I would, too. I'm one of those people, too.
Yeah.
So, what's your take on the current state of the team now? You know, they have a little bit of struggles scoring some goals. The power play is having some trouble, but they've been able to pull out a lot of wins. So to me, it's overall successful and building towards something. But what's your take?
Yeah, I think goaltending right now is hiding some of the problems in a good way, right? You know, Carter Hart's probably coming off one of his best games probably in his history against Carolina. The big time saves that he made, there was a lot of defensive lapses that led to those things, but they do get covered up in some big saves. But yeah, just the power play is struggling a little bit. You got to get that clicking at a, you know, 20-25% rate, a successful rate, to, you know, to get you one or two goals a game, you know, make it easier on your goaltenders, make it easier on everybody, right? And so yeah, those two things probably for me is not a red flag, but, you know, something room for improvement right off the bat here before it gets too bad, right? So
now, the All-Star Games in Vegas, if you had to pick today a Flyer or two that you think would be on the team, who do you think?
Probably Cobb. Well, if I could pick three.
You could pick three. Go ahead.
It would be Drew, Couturier, and Carter Hart.
Okay.
Not
if I had to pick
selection.
Two, it'd be G and Carter.
Okay.
Probably.
Nice.
Yeah, it's tougher for the goalies.
Yeah.
All right, wrapping up with a predictions question. We are recording this interview prior to the alumni game.
Oh, boy.
Who scores the most goals, and how many points do you get?
Who scores the most goals? Probably, I would say Danny Briere, because he loves to score goals, and I love to feed him when I play with him. But I'm playing against him, so hopefully I can counteract that. And how many points am I going to get?
Yeah.
I say three.
There you go. Bold prediction.
We will see.
We'll see.
We'll see. And we'll either be suitably impressed
yep.
or make fun of you.
Exactly. Well, either or. I don't care.
Just keep your head up with Lindros. Is he on your team or against
He's
you?
On my team.
Oh, okay.
God.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Good.
Thanks for having me, though. I
hey,
appreciate
thanks,
it.
Guys.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right, once again, thank you so much to Scott Hartnell for sitting down with us. That was so much fun, and hopefully we can do it again sometime. Wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing, of course, it's Scott Hartnell related, and there was this cute little documentary on the Hartnell Down phenomenon out there on YouTube that I found, and it's actually pretty fun, and it's a good summary. It involves interviews of Scott, his parents, and, you know, some of the other guys, and just the Twitter user Seth at the time who started the phenomenon. And it's a really good little piece, so I highly recommend watching it, and you'll get some laughs as well.
Now, I have to ask you, when he went down for the first time in the alumni game and then he kind of acknowledged the crowd, did he go down accidentally or did he go down on purpose?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I know it is. I think he did it on purpose. I do.
he was definitely wrong about his predictions about who would get the most points and his points. So
he was optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks once again for being with us, whether it's your first show you've listened to or the 500th, which that's dedication. So thank you there. I also want to say a special thank you to Danielle, who started the show with me, and Locked On Flyers wouldn't have reached this milestone or be what it is today without her. We will be back again tomorrow with a recap of tonight's game, looking ahead to the game over the weekend versus the Bruins. And it's Friday, so we'll have our gritty thing of the week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions via Twitter at Locked On Flyers, or you can email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
I'm Russ, and I'm on Twitter at Sportsology, SportsOlogy.
You made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.